is 1719. Francois Deville has had a bad week. Now, we all have one of these every now and again, but Francois would stand out in his mind for the rest of his life. He was born and raised in a small town in France, but it was a boring existence, and adventure called. There was a new land across the sea called New France. And what the hey, you gotta check these things out to be a true man of the world. For several years, he would leave his home country every spring for the Gulf of St. Lawrence and participate in the cod fishery. It was hard work, but still not that overly difficult, for the cod was there, and some of them were absolute monsters. Granddaddies of fish that could, if properly prepared, feed a family for a very long time. And he was doing the Lord's work, for Friday's meals were supposed to be meatless, and you have to eat something substantial to keep your health up. Francois was used to bad weather. He had been on the sea since he was a boy, but this particular storm had gone on for hours. It came up suddenly. The crew could see nothing through the surf and waves. They had to be at least 15 feet high. There was already tragedy. His little brother Jacques had been washed overboard through the night. The captain, Pierre, was violently ill, for he had met a wave in the face and had swallowed a lot of water. Suddenly, an explosion. The forward mast crashes to the deck, and Francois is propelled through the air and lands on sand. Everything hurts. Morning arrives, and Francois sees his friend Mathieu through the driving rain, kneeling over a body just up the shore. It was the ship's cook, Etienne. Mathieu, by now, had found the rest of the crew. All dead. This is not a good situation to be in. Where are they? They look around. It must be Île Saint-Jean. The cliffs are all that bright red clay. This place was only a summer station for the French fishery. There will be no one by this late in the season to pick them up. First of all, the sad task must be completed. There must be a proper burial. No priest here to conduct the rites, but these are followers of God, and theirs must be a proper Christian burial. Mathieu finds some clear land at the top of the cliff. The two of them carefully wrap the bodies in what is left of the sails, and graves are dug with a couple of gaffs they found near Michel's remains. The storm abates, and the two friends salvage what they can from the wreck. What do they do? The rest of the fleet is heading back to France. They are marooned. They need shelter. Then, in the spring, they will return home. They have been on this island before to get fresh water. They do not want to stay near the wreck. Too many bad memories. But Mathieu and Francois disagree violently about which direction to head in. The tension mounts. They disagree, and they part, with Mathieu heading east and Francois west. Francois walks along the shore and finds more debris. He hides everything he finds in stockpiles. He may need it for the winter. Several miles away, on a mammoth set of sand dunes, he finds a small dory. It is in good shape, and he is able to cross from the great dunes to the harbor. Finally, luck is with Francois. He finds a summer shack in good shape. There are some stores in another shack, even to some leftover flour. The first snowfall comes, and it gives him insulation and warmth. Wildlife abounds. Francois is never hungry. He does think of Matthew often and wonders about his fate. There are, after all, bears. He wishes Matthew had come with him. Where did he go? There is too much snow to travel through to find him. Francois mourns Jacques and the rest of the crew. Through the harsh winter, he discovers that his biggest enemy is loneliness. The beauty of Ile Saint-Jean becomes attractive. By spring, he begins to feel at home here. He decides that he will not return to France. There is a challenge here. In his grief for Jacques, he also realizes that he cannot leave his brother's mortal remains alone here in this foreign land. In the spring, Gabriel Roger returns from his winter home on the St. Lawrence, New France, bringing all his possessions and his children. His beloved Elizabeth died in the winter. Gabriel and Francois soon become friendly neighbors. Little Marie Elizabeth is fascinated with the much older fisherman storyteller as he recounts tales of the wreck and his first winter all alone at Havre Saint-Pierre. Over time, her fascination grew to mutual love, and the first wedding ceremony is conducted by the newly formed Saint-Pierre-de-Nord Parish. Francois lived on Ile Saint-Jean for 38 years after the wreck. He did resurrect his friendship with Matthew. Matthew, too, had a difficult first winter, but he too prospered, and by 1728, Matthew had 10 living in his home at Pointe de l'Est. Francois was a great storyteller, and his own family of 11 children were told many times of the harrowing adventure that led to his settlement here. Every one of them, when they were old enough to understand, were taken across to New Frage Point and shown where Francois's brother Jacques and the rest of the crew were buried on top of the cliff, just up from the wreck. All Francois's children lived to at least their teens. There was sadness in 1752 when three of the children died within weeks of each other. Francois joined them in the old French Saint-Pierre-de-Nord Cemetery in present-day St. Peter's Harbor on January 29, 1757. The others and their mother were rounded up by Lord Rollo's men and shipped off to France during the 1758 deportation after Louisbourg fell. Francois de Ville's family lives on today, 9 generations later, in Louisiana. This family's oral history includes the story of the wreck at New Frage. Just as he refused to abandon Jacques in death, his Francois' descendants have not forgotten him. In 1913, a lighthouse was constructed at New Frage for the safety of all mariners, whether they be inshore or out in the deep waters of the sea. I like to think that Francois helped supervise its construction from above. The little cemetery is all but hidden from view, with only clumps of wild roses to mark its place. Still, it is a place that all can come to and explore, remembering that through tragedy, life continued on. It is all a part of Prince Edward Island's way of life. In a northwest gale, with the waves crashing on the shore, or even in the very thickest of foggy days, stand on the cliff near the light and feel the ocean spray on your face. Listen to the crashing of the breakers. Maybe, just maybe, you will too experience the power of the sea that helped in its own way permanently settle this wonderful island that we are so proud to call our home.